Blessings to you in Jesus' name. Glad to have you tuning in here on the 3rd of December 2021 as we enter the last month of this year. Time is moving on rapidly as we go into 2022. So glad to have you tuning. And the Lord bless you tonight and minister to you, we pray. going to open up in some news tonight as we begin the program. Talk about Marcus Lamb. He died this week. The head of Daystar, the president and founder of Daystar Christian Network. He died at 64 years old with COVID this week. And he'd been involved in adultery for about 7 years. And he had to come out and admit it because it was getting out. And so finally he admitted it after 7 years of being an adulteress, you know, because it had gone public, you know, someone had leaked it. And so I guess for the last 5 to 8 years, something like that, he, as far as we know, he has been done with the adultery, as far as we know. But that's sad to lose the man, and sad that, you know, he died of COVID. That's what they're saying. I don't know all the facts, but his, his wife said to pray for his lungs, so very likely was COVID. Excuse me. Boris Johnson says this week, new vaccine centers are going to be, you know, Boris Johnson now leads Great Britain, England, but new vaccination centers will be popping up like Christmas trees around the country. And he set out the government's new plan in England to get all adults triple jabbed by the end of January. Right, he says it's to deal with Omicron. Right, okay, well, the whole world wants everybody vaccinated. That's something. They've been told to do this. Who's behind it? German study shows that the fully vaxxed are possible and relevant to the transmission, yeah, to the transmission for COVID-19. In other words, they're causing the transmission of COVID-19, according to this German study. Oh, that's an interesting thought, huh? Elderly man on the brink of death fully recovers after a judge ordered the hospital who refused to give him ivermectin, but he had people working for him and that helped him on his side to get a judge to order the hospital to allow him to have ivermectin. And many hospitals deny ivermectin to patients who ask for it. That's sad because ivermectin tends to help people from what I understand about it. Nasty woman in store, grocery store, opens a bag of chips store and eats a few of them and spits them all back into the bag and reseals it and put it back on the shelf. Yeah, the video is on whatfinger.com. I mean, watch what you're buying. Somebody may have spit something back in the bag. I thought that was a very unpleasant thought to be eating somebody else's chewed up food in your bag. And yeah. Anyway, woman who tortured and sexually abused her 5-year-old to death with her lesbian girlfriend in Argentina is beaten to a bloody pulp in the Argentinian prison. Yeah, they didn't like a child molester and killer in the prison, and they beat her to a bloody pulp. Huh, that's something. She reaped what she sowed, beat her little innocent child of 5, and then they and killed her, killed the child, and then they beat her to a bloody pulp. My. President Trump says some people don't want to be vaccinated. They don't want to take the jab, and that is their freedom. Well, at least he's not behind forcing it like Biden wants to do, right? He gives people a right of choice. And really, that's the way it should be. In a free nation, they should have the right of choice. If they want to go ahead and take an untested so-called vaccine that hasn't been proven, and that it's being tried to be forced upon them, that's their business. But you know, you don't have to take it. Shouldn't have to. Shouldn't be forced on anybody. right? Well, now we see the defunded Portland, who defunded cops there. They're talking to the cops who left, please come back, because they got such high crime. And the mayor, Ted Wheeler, wants more police officers again in Portland after he downsized the police force and discouraged so many officers that they simply retired or quit at breakneck speed, and now they don't have enough cops and crime is just exploding there, as it is in other places who cried for the defunding of the police. Well, people are getting vaccine passport microchips embedded in their hands as COVID advanced the Internet of Bodies, whatever that word means, in quotation, Internet of Bodies. So this is in Sweden, and probably will spread from there. 6,000 so far have had their vaccine passport microchip embedded in their hand or other part of their body. Wow, so all they have to do is have it scanned and people can see their health condition or whatever's going to be on there right now. But I'm sure they can add more, right, later if they want to. Oh, boy, what a mess. Anyway, now, I can't prescribe medicine. I'm not a doctor, but I do want to share this from a book on herbals for a brother that has cancer, and we're praying for him. But I wanted to let him know about this particular herb. According to this book here, many universities have tested chaparral and found it an aid in dissolving tumors and in fighting cancer. This is what the book says about it. Chaparral works by constraining undesired rapid cellular growth by way of the essential respiratory process present throughout the whole human system. And this is just an add-on here, but chaparral has been said to eliminate the residue of LSD from the body, helping prevent the reoccurrences of flashbacks caused by LSD. For those who dropped a lot of acid in their younger days or still doing or whatever, there's a little word for you so you don't have those flashbacks or reoccurrences. They said that chaparral has been said to eliminate the residue of LSD from your body. Chaparral, next it says, chaparral is famous for its role in combating cancer by virtue of its primary ingredient, NDGA, which is, I'm not going to try to pronounce what that stands for, but it's a powerful antioxidant and anti-tumor agent. After 2,000 years of recorded history and after multiple universities have tested the plant and have found that it aids in dissolving tumors and fighting cancers, the FDA now wants to take chaparral off the market. Well, yeah, anything that works, right? But anyway, that's the scoop on chaparral, and Arizona Naturals produces that. You can get your bottle of that from there, and I'm not doing any advertising for it. I'll just, just let you know what this book says about it for those who might have cancer. And of course, we believe in prayer too. Of course, most importantly, is prayer. But I just think of help any way that help can come, as long as it's not done in an occult manner or something that's ungodly. But we wouldn't want to partake of that. Don't want to go to any witch doctors or anything like that. But this is a natural substance there, and according to this book, it helps people and gets rid of their cancers in many cases. Okay, so that's the news for tonight. I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to get into the most important thing that we have here, which is the time in the Word of God, and then deliverance afterward. I pray you'll be blessed by it, and And pray you had a good week this past week. A lot of things going on. But Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we're going to be all right, folks. We're going to make it through this time. The Lord our God is with us in a mighty way. And we're going to make it. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer tonight as we go through the Word of God and see what he has to say to us tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for another opportunity to jump into your Word, be in your presence, and release the power of the Spirit of God through anointed Word. Lord, as you use me and the Holy Spirit first and foremost to speak to people. And so, Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in me. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in them to receive the Word as he teaches them. The Holy Spirit teaches, you said in your Word. Don't need a man to teach. The Holy Spirit teaches, right? So he uses what I say and teaches the person through it. Or what somebody else has said. Or what they get out of the Word. And he'll teach people through that. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. Look, you do things in a way that maybe mankind doesn't understand, but that doesn't matter because you do it your way, Father, and your way is the best way. We give you praise for that. And, Lord, we don't know a lot of things, Lord, but you're teaching us. And we're growing in grace and knowledge and truth. And we thank you for that. Thank you for all the years, Lord, that you've taught me, Father. And I thank you that you're continuing to do so. And Lord, I know that none of us have everything 100% right, but we're learning. And we should be getting it better and better every year as you continue to teach us, Lord, as we continue to grow, Father. And we thank you for that. And we appreciate the gift that you've given us, Lord, and deliverance and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing and your presence in our lives, Father. We praise you for all these things, Father. We praise you for ministering in our homes, Lord, in our families, in our marriages, Father. Lord, doing things that only you can do, Father, because we... No one has a perfect home, a perfect marriage, or a perfect children. No one's a perfect parent. But, Lord, we thank you that you could do great things, Lord, in our life, Father, as we allow you to do the work and as we yield to you more and more as we continue growing, Father, toward where you would have us to be, Father. And we thank you for that now. We ask you to bless the program tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for ministering by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, we cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. And I ask you to speak through it. And Lord, deliver people as we pray at the end, Father. At the last 30 minutes of the program, we do deliverance, Lord. We pray that you'll deliver people, minister to them that way. And Father, we pray for the person with cancer, Father, we ask you to just heal in Jesus' name. We just pray that you heal the body and we rebuke the cancer. We command it to go in the name of Jesus from their body. And we thank you that, Lord, you are the healer. You are the Lord, thy God, that healeth us. And we thank you for that. And, Lord, that you are faithful to your word, Father, as we believe it. And, Lord, we're believing for our dear person that we know, our dear brother in Christ, Father, we thank you for healing in Jesus' name, for your glory. And Lord, we just give you praise and honor in advance, Lord, that the person shall live and not die, and you'll give him a long and healthy life in Jesus' name, for your glory. And Lord, we thank you that all of us, you promised us, for the long life you will satisfy us. And show us your salvation, Lord, even in spite of the COVID, and even in spite of all these things going on, and we see people dying every week, we hear of it, or we see someone we know die, and I pray for the family of a dear brother whose mother passed this week. Lord, we pray you minister to that family, Father, and minister to them and encourage them and show him how to get through all this and what you'd have him to do about it all. And we just give you praise for ministry to that whole family, Father, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, we commit it all to you. Amen. Everybody say amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Good to see you all there in the quay there with all your phone numbers there from different states, and appreciate that you tune in. We're going to talk about something important tonight, and it might not be exactly what you think, but it's The Darkness Must Go is the title. Are you ready? Let's get into this word tonight. Can I just be honest with you about the state and the condition of much of the church today as we start out? Well, I'm just going to have to say it. You know, it's carnal. That's right. You know, the world has so much dominance in so many Christians today. And you know, Paul speaks of it too. We'll look this up here in 1 Corinthians 3 and read what he has to say about it. But, you know, this is nothing new. The carnality of Christians was there in his day, and the carnality of Christians is here in our day. What is a carnal Christian? It's a Christian with an unrenewed mind, a fleshly ruled mind, a mind that is dominated much more by the world than it is by Christ, Jesus, and the Word of God. So, yeah, we're going to just read a scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you yet now able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Or the Greek says, as mere men? And in the flesh, which is, this is just saying we're walking as little flesh creatures, right? Which we should be walking as spirit-filled powerhouses, amen, full of the Holy Ghost and power. And so in the flesh, you're going to see more flesh. And that's why we see ourselves as black. What do you mean? Well, this is what the woman in Song of Solomon says about herself. Let's go to read it in Song of Solomon chapter 1. And, of course, the woman in Song of Solomon also speaks of the church, according to many theologians as well. So what is she saying about herself? Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Let's start reading there. In verse 5, it says here, I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Okay, so what's she saying? Well, I believe the daughters of Jerusalem also speaks of carnal Christians. But she is speaking and says she's black, right? Not a black person necessarily, even though she may have been a darker person. But the point is, she saw herself as black. She's speaking. And every believer desires to see the King, but the result of seeing him is never, ever like we expected it to be when Jesus shows up in our life. It's not always the way we thought he was going to show up. But, you know, one look at the King, and she sees the blackness of herself as she sees the King here, as we read in the previous verses here. But let's go over to jump over to Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. Just a couple pages over, Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, and each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory. See, he saw the King, the prophet Isaiah, and this is, and the post of the door, it moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then he said, then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm undone. Why is he undone? Well, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Now, remember Peter, too, how he cried out, seeing only his sinfulness. Yeah, so this Shulamite woman, she has, I mean, this woman here that we see in Song of Solomon, we see that she had looked in the mirror of the Word for a picture of Jesus, but instead she's seen her old natural carnal self. And in other words, she sees first the blackness of the residue of her old man in Adam instead of the beauty of the new man in Christ, instead of the beauty and glory of God. So she forgets what manner of a person that she is. See, we're going to have to see ourselves not as little flesh creatures anymore that have all these demons, but a new spirit creature in Christ, because that's how God sees us today. He's not looking at all of your demons all the time. You think that's what God looks at when he sees you? Oh, I see so many demons in that person. I don't want to fellowship with them. No, he's not looking at that. You're not fellowship. He doesn't fellowship with your flesh anyway. He fellowships with your spirit, and the flesh or the soul is where the, not the spirit, but the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, is where the demons are. And the flesh is a part of the soul. And so the woman sees a need in her life. Right? The darkness, the blackness is going to have to be removed. And we need to see that too. Yeah. The flesh, the demonic, the carnal. Right? We need to see it. We need to want it removed. We too need to see the blackness in our lives. And if we desire to grow, desire it, we need to desire it to be removed. Amen? And now this darkness is only going to be abolished by the impartation of light. And Jesus is he's the light, right? And the application of the light and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And this, of course, includes deliverance. As we know, when you get rid of these demons that are hanging on us and in us. And so, yeah, and inner healing, people need that too. They need to be, you know, have the balm of Gilead poured upon them and heal up for all the wounds in life, the hurts in life. See, maturing in Christ is to see yourself as a perfect reflection of Christ, of the King. That's where this is all going. Look at Song of Solomon if you want to, and I'll read it. Song of Solomon 6, 9, and 10. 6, 9, and 10. And we see here, it said, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare thee. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Yeah, hallelujah. So, for 8 chapters, we follow this woman through a learning experience, the church, too. She represents the church that will finally end all self-effort and carnal striving to remove this blackness. So it is plain to see at this point, she still has a carnal mind. And her mind is unrenewed because she's focusing on the old man, I am black, instead of the new man, you know, in the King. In Jesus. See, our past teaching can cause us, as it did her, to see an imperfect and distorted reflection of herself in the mirror of the Word. How many know when some people read the Word, they don't see the good things in the Word. Something in them causes them to see the distortion, causes them, and it could be the enemy in them, but causes them to see a distorted Word or to see, you know, oh my, God is going to get me for this, and oh man, he hates me, and all this, he's going to swallow me up like he did Korah and the rebellion and all that, because I've been so rebellious, you know, I'm just so black, I'm just so messed up, I'm so carnal. That's what, yeah. Again, I'm not speaking of black as a skin color, right? We're talking about black as the darkness in us, the carnality, see. So, religion, condemnation, fear of failure, rejection, and doctrines of man have called us to focus on the old man and has kept us from true spiritual growth. It calls it to focus on the bad in us and focus on the darkness in us and the carnality of our flesh and our natural man. Why? Because, hey, we're such a hopeless case, we think. You know, in our own eyes, we see it that way. So what are you focusing on today? Yourself. What are you looking at the most? The old man or the new? The old nature or the new nature or the new creation in Christ? Are you looking at the old fleshly nature with all its demons? Are you focused on them? Do they look so big and powerful in your life? Yeah, she will one day focus on the light instead of the darkness and begin to grow. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be growing in the newness of life, living from that newness of life, instead of just living out of the carnality of the past. Yeah, what does it say, Proverbs 4:18? But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's us. See, I'm shining more and more into that perfect day. The world's getting darker and darker, but we should not supposed to be getting darker and darker. Right? I mean, this is a new day for her, but God's day always begins in the evening. Right? What did he say in the beginning? He said the evening and the morning were the first day, not the morning and the evening. We always think the morning and the evening were the first day, but no. He said the evening and the morning were the first day. Right? I mean, often it is very dark in our lives when God recreates us, delivers us, and deals with us to get rid of this carnality. There's much darkness to be removed before the morning light can even be seen. Right? I mean, it's pretty dark at midnight. Yeah. And our lives are often in a midnight condition. They're so dark. Yeah, let's look at 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter 1:19 says here, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye be well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. See, thank God there's a light shining in a dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. See? It's going to happen, but we need to let it happen. See? It's the light that shineth in a dark place. Let Jesus' light shine in. I mean, soon she will have to, as we also, if we are to grow, bring all the thoughts into captivity that don't agree with what the Word says about her. And we need to bring the thoughts into captivity that don't agree with what the Word says about us. Right? I mean, that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, isn't it? Yeah. Sure enough does. I'll read it to you as soon as I can find it here. Yeah, here we go. Casting down imagination that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where are your thoughts at today? Are you bringing them under subjection to the obedience of Christ? Or are you letting them run rampant in your life? What are they doing inside of you? What are your thoughts doing? Are they making you submit to them? Are you yielding to those thoughts? The demonic thoughts that the demons place in your mind, they place in there, they tempt you with them, they try to get you thinking in a certain way? Yeah. Bring all thoughts into captivity. All of them. Don't let any of them reign unrestrained. And you too got to put down thoughts that cause you to revert back to the old man, the old carnal creature you were before the supernatural rebirth, the regeneration in Christ. Yeah, put down those demons that keep rising up, causing sin in your life and causing you to think carnally, act carnally, and be a carnal Christian. And deal harshly with them. Don't play around with them. Declare all out war on those spirits. Declare all out war on those wrong ways of thinking, those carnal ways. And most Christians are not serious enough about dealing with their demons. And so the results are they don't get free. Simple. They don't get free. They don't even admit they have demons. I mean, they keep their demons. A lot of Christians just keep their demons. And you need to develop a holy, heaven-sent determination to be free and live free. Because if you don't have that, you probably won't deal with them. So where demons are concerned, you can't be half-hearted or lackadaisical. Can't be lazy about this. There must be seriousness, a daily warfare, and a daily determination, my friend. These devils will not reside here in me anymore, in Jesus' name. And you speak it to them too. You devils will not be here anymore. And this is not your home. You're leaving in Jesus' name. You're gone in Jesus' name. Begin declaring these things. Be bold about it. This is warfare. Think and believe change in you. Right? And then change in you will be yours. Right? If you think and believe change in you will be yours, you will have change in you being yours. In other words, to make that a little more clear, refuse to accept the status quo any longer. Just put up with this stuff. Just putting up with it year after year, month after month, decade after decade, really? Why? Lord, help us. Amen? Things in you are changing. You will be free. Target specific devil, and when in your sights, then unload your full blast on them. Hey, the blood, the word, the name, a strong confession of faith, the good fight of faith that prevaileth against the evil. Use bold authority based on the word of God daily in your life. This is not time to play around. This is time for just to be totally serious, right? I mean, those spirits are subject to you if you use your authority. Otherwise, they'll just run all over you. And most creatures are not using their authority. Most creatures are not dealing with these spirits. They're dealing with them. But listen, you have the authority. The Bible says the spirits are subject to you. Actually, they're subject really to those who take the scripture, receive it, and believe it, and then act as if it is so. How many are not acting as if it is so today? Right, so it's not their reality, because the reality won't become their reality because they don't act like it's so. They don't believe it. See? So it's only so for those who believe it to be so for them. So forcing its truth and reality upon your enemy, yeah, the demons within, that is, yeah. So use the reality and God-given force and power of Luke 10, 19, and 20. When are you going to do that? What are we waiting for here? The Bible put it in there. God put it in there for a reason. The Lord put it in the Bible for a reason, so that we might be a partaker of it, that it might become our spiritual reality. Luke 10, 19 and 20, it says, "Behold, I give unto you what? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. But the spirits are subject to you, and you can tread on serpents and scorpions. You can stomp all over them things." Amen. That's what the word of God said. Yeah, you can stomp on them in your life. Make them just so miserable they can't wait to leave. In the meantime, make them so miserable they want out of you. Your faith and believing with acting like it's so activates the latent power of God within his word to make it a reality in and for you in your life. See, that's how things work in the spirit. Amen. Yeah. Make most Christians, you know, they fail to activate scripture, therefore they don't receive what the reality of that scripture is, the reality of what God put in it when he spoke it. And put it in his word. See? But that reality doesn't become people's reality unless it is activated by them by faith and action. Faith without action is dead. Faith without works is dead. Without any action, your faith is dead. So you gotta activate the things of God by acting as if it is so. Believing without action is only half the thing. I mean, it's not full. It's not going to be working properly without the action part. Oh, I believe. Well, then why don't I see any changes? Why don't I see an act of faith here? Why don't I see you acting like you believe? See? Oh, yeah. They don't see the real force of the word take place because there's a lack of word activation taking place from within them. If you really want free, you got to get serious about it. You got to believe it's true and then act like it's true and then begin to take that into the reality of your life, into that true reality of God. Take it into your life and let it be a manifestation of the truth. as you act out the truth of God. People still going around, and even, you know, some Christians say, I'm just an alcoholic, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. They still feed themselves that way. I'm just a doper. I'm just a weed smoker. I'm just a jerk. I'm just a clown. I'm just a slut. I'm just promiscuous still. But while you may still have those spirits in you, yeah, and a lot of people do, it is no longer your identity. Your identity is in Christ. You are accepted in the Beloved. You're a son or a daughter of God. You've been brought into the family. That's your identity. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're brothers with Jesus. Oh, man. The growth will be slower than this woman she would like. It always is. But, hey, as we too, are going to have to stay in front of the mirror of the Word, until she sees herself as a reflection of Him and grows from that revelation knowledge. See, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, what does it say we're to do? It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We stay in front of that glass. We stay in front of that mirror until we see Christ. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's a lifelong process, but it's still going on, and it's going to go on until Jesus comes. Yeah. So, hey, keep looking in that mirror. Keep looking in that mirror. Keep seeing, you know, the transformation process take place. See yourself change from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Can't speak of or point to that which is passing or temporary, as we saw back in Song of Solomon. I'm black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, right? As the curtains of Solomon. So the tents speak of that which is temporary. Kedar was a son of Ishmael, who was a product of Sarah's head and Abraham's loins, right? It wasn't God's plan. It wasn't. Human wisdom and strength, not the Spirit, not God, but flesh did that. How many times have we burst something out of our flesh and an Ishmael of the flesh instead of holding fast in faith for the Isaac, for the promise of God, for the real promise of God? And we try to do something and we take over on our own. Well, I think God really wants this, and you just step out and get an Ishmael. You just didn't wait on the promise. Yeah. Yep. That's true. How many times does that happen in your life? It's happened in my life. God promises an Isaac. We get impatient and we go have a product of our, you know, of the flesh. An Ishmael in the flesh. Because we're carnal and we live in the flesh. And we want to produce after the flesh, but we should be producing after the flesh. We're supposed to live and walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will not produce after the flesh. But we produce after the flesh because we're carnal and we live in the flesh. And if we live in the Spirit, we'll wait on that which is spiritual and of the Spirit, right? That's what we should be doing, waiting on that which is Spirit, that which is life, that which is glorious in God. Amen. And yet, oh, how many don't want to wait? We don't like patience. We don't want to wait. We want it now, Lord. We want this thing that you promised right now, Galatians 4:23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That was Ishmael. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Right? That was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is, yeah, that's the Old Testament, the law, the Ten Commandments, right? So let's jump here and read on here to verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now, and that is true today. He that lives under the law persecutes him who totally lives under grace and not under the law. They think there's something wrong with you, you know, because you're not legalists like they are. You're not keeping law like they are. See? Oh, yeah. Her dependence on human wisdom and strength there. The flesh is a temporary and passing thing. Comely refers to the curtains of Solomon. This is a reference to the curtains of Solomon's temple, which were meant to be permanent. Just as the black refers to the black refers to the carnal nature, and tense refers to a temporary and passing thing. But our blackness will pass, see? In other words, that's what it's saying here. They're going to pass. And comely refers to the permanent. It points to the new man in Christ within that will someday allow her to bear the glory so that others are going to see Jesus in every facet of her life. And that's what we want, too. We want people to see Jesus, not carnality, not demons. We don't want people to see our demons all the time. We'd rather them see Jesus. Right? I mean, hallelujah. I mean, really. Romans 8:28-29. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not just him. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And we're being conformed to the image of his son. We're being made into the image. See, spiritually in the word and in heaven, this is a fact now. This is our present reality before God. He's not looking at the old lost person. He's not looking at the old carnal nature. He's looking at the new creation in Christ because Christ interceded for us. Hallelujah. So this is our present reality, what is true before the throne of God. Because otherwise we couldn't come boldly before the throne of God if this wasn't our true reality, because we would be a filthy, rotten, thinking sinner, and we couldn't go in before the throne of God. But we're not sinners anymore, and if you're calling yourself that, you're in error. Because that's not your identity. That's a false identity. That's a lying identity. That's Satan's idea of your identity. You're just an old sinner. Yeah, saved by grace. That's it. But no, we're not that anymore. We're saints of God. We've been bought in. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Don't call yourself that person an old sinner, because that's not who he declares you are. He says we're prophet, priest, and king. But most believers don't believe it, because they're still living like they don't believe it. If you believe it, you start living like the royalty you really are. You start living with the authority that you really have. They're still looking at their flesh all the time, the darkness of the flesh instead of the light. That which is of the spirit is what we should be looking at. But in the flesh, Paul said no good thing dwells there, no good thing. So I challenge you tonight, man, to see light instead of the darkness, to look at Jesus instead of you all the time, and to start seeing yourself accepted in the beloved instead of a sinful outcast. To quit relating to yourself as a poor old sinner, just saved by grace, barely going to get in, I hope. No, don't ever hope. If you say you hope, you're not even saved. I hope I'm going to make it to heaven. That's a giveaway that you need to get born again. See, I know I'm going to be there. Do you know you're going to be there? If not, right now, ask Jesus in your heart. Ask him to forgive you for your sins and wash you in his blood right now. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you're God. And I ask you to live in me from this day forward. I repent. I turn away. I hate my sin. I ask you to forgive and cleanse me from all sin and unrighteousness, and live in my heart and give you my life from this day forward. I'm yours, Lord. Do what you want with me. So just get born again right now. It's real simple. Wash me in your precious blood. Just say that, and you're saved. If you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, the Bible says you shall be saved. So quit, if you're saved, then don't relate to yourself anymore as an old sinner. Because that's not who you are, see? Amen. You got to recognize who you are and live like who you are. Don't live like somebody else, somebody that is non-relevant anymore to who you really are, see? But they want to do that. Why do they want to do that? Because the devil wants them to do that. He wants to keep them powerless. 1 John 2:8, what does it say? Well, it says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is saying is true in him and in you. Notice it's true in him and in you, in Jesus and in you. because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. This is true in you. The true light is shining. The darkness is past. You got to reckon it's dead and gone and passing. Yeah, it's true in you and in him. It is a present day reality, not a sweet by and by reality. So believe it, act like it's so, think like it's so, talk like it's so, make it your reality. Amen. Why is it true? Because you're in him and you have the image of the second Adam, not the first. The darkness is past, live in the light. The darkness is past, live in the light. Come on, more light in your life. Yeah. You need to quit dwelling on that which is past and dwell and live in the true light. That now is shining, right? And true light, what does it do? It dispels darkness. You turn on the light, the darkness flees. Remember, too, also this, not to live in that which has been done away as a means of righteousness. Don't go back and live under the old covenant. This is all about living in the new man. They didn't have a new man under the old covenant. There was no new creature in Christ under the Old Testament, under the old man. Couldn't happen. Jesus hadn't died yet. There was no such thing. It was not available yet. And yet we have all these Christians, the Hebrew roots, want to go back and live like under the law and keep the Ten Commandments? Really? We have a better covenant, the Bible said. Yeah, we have a better covenant. We don't live in that which has been done away as a means of righteousness, the old covenant, anymore. We have that better covenant. The Bible says a new and living way, not the oldness and deadness of the letter, as the Bible says. Why would you go back and live that way when you've been delivered from the law? As a means of righteousness, as a means to live by, you're not in that anymore. Why would you do it? It's a ministration of death. It'll bring death into your life, not life. But a new and living way, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. See, we're not dependent on us. We're not dependent on our flesh, on our carnal nature. That's not going to make it today. That won't bring you through these dark days. It isn't going to do it. Our sufficiency is of God. That's total dependency on God, who also has made us able ministers. He made me able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter, the Old Testament, not of the law. See? He made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills. Spirit gives life. See? The letter's going to kill you. You go back under a Hebrew root group and start trying to keep the law, or a Messianic group and start trying to keep the law. Not all Messianic groups do that, but many of them do. They try to keep everything of the old covenant. But if the ministration of death, verse 7, written and engraven in stones was glorious, see, what was written and engraven in stone? A ministration of death. But why would you want to live under administration of death when you can live under the administration of life now? See, you see that? If the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, or which was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of condemnation is death, and condemnation is the law. Why would we want to go live under that? Live under that as a means of righteousness? Live under that as a day-by-day means of righteousness? Really? No, I'm going to live in the Spirit. Amen? Because this doesn't give you the victory. Going under the law will not give you the victory. I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm going to live in grace. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious and had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So let's live in that which remaineth. Yeah. Now the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, it says in Galatians, but you don't live under the schoolmaster. Once you come into Christ, see? So, yeah, it brings conviction of sin. It shows you that you're a filthy sinner, right? You need to get saved. But it's not what you live under once you come out from living in darkness and start coming into his marvelous light, see? And such trust. What is this? And such trust in verse 4 there. Such trust have we through Christ to Godward. This is the trust we have, the faith we have, not in the letter, but in the spirit seed, not in administration of death, but Jesus bought and taught administration of life. The law brought a hopeless misery and a condition of death because you saw you were sinful and there was no hope without Jesus. He saw it because nobody could keep the law. They tried, but they couldn't. They never could keep every word of the law. But in Jesus, he did the Ten Commandments perfectly, right? And he did what the Ten Commandments could never do for you, see? So we're in his life. He says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus now, see? Because he lived the Ten Commandments perfectly. He fulfilled the law so that he might free us from the law and bring in a better covenant. See, that's what happened. See, and if you live in this new covenant, you can get delivered from demons. You go back and live under the old covenant. Hey, the Bible says you're in danger of falling from grace in Galatians. You go back under the law. And he says that you're living in a bewitched condition, so the demons have a right. That's what Paul said. Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, that you who began in the spirit, now you've gone back under the law. I mean, what happened to you? You've been bewitched. He likens that to a witchcraft, that they've been put under spell or something in Galatians 3:1. And he called them foolish. What's wrong with you? What did you do this for? Why did you go under administration of death when you got free from that and you got into life? Why do you want to go back to death again and live in death? What, something wrong with you? You're foolish. He called them foolish. Right? Oh, my. What are you going to do about that? I'm not going to get in that condition in Jesus' name. How about you? Sure don't want to live that way. Not going to. Haven't. I'm living in grace. Enjoying it. Thank you, Jesus. But hey, if we're going to go very far, though, in this grace with the Lord, there's something each of us is going to have to learn. I say learn because we're adults and mostly, and it doesn't just seem to come automatically for us. In fact, Jesus said it's easier for a child to do this than for an adult. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm talking about trust, learning to trust. Simple childlike trust or childlike faith and trusting in God with all of your heart. Most people today find it hard to trust anybody, don't they? I mean, because everybody's been let down. Everybody's been betrayed. If you lived on this earth very long, people don't keep their word today. People hurt people. You know, people have been wounded. People have been hurt repeatedly to the point where, for some, trust is almost impossible. Because they built so many walls up, demons have accommodated them in building walls against trust to protect them from the hurt. And demons are now solidly in place. See, they have a false protection, and they say, well, I'm not going to let anybody get into me again. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me again. I'm not going to let any man get close to me, some women say, because they've hurt me. I'm just going to use them. Just all these different things that demons put in their mind. You didn't cast down the vain imagination when they got exalted in your mind, and now they've built a wall and a stronghold because you didn't deal with these things when they rose up in you. But first, we're going to have to realize trust is an act of your will and an act of faith, okay? If you're going to be a trusting person again, but if you're going to start really learning to trust, you've got to realize trust is an act of your will and an act of faith, okay? Next, we're going to have to realize that God isn't man, okay? He's not like a man. He's not a man. He doesn't think like we do, okay? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, he said. But because that most of us have had to relate to, all that we've had to relate to is people, it makes it very difficult for most of us to trust God because we know that people have let down our trust. People have hurt us. People have betrayed us. People have talked behind our back. They've cursed us. They've done things that make us, well, what if God does that? What if God is like people? Well, he's not. But, you know, his tendency is to think, well, God is in the male tent, so he must be like every other male that I've known, right? So, but no, that's not true. The Bible tells you that's not true. He doesn't lie, for one thing. God is not a man that he should lie. Well, all men lie, and all women lie in one form or another at some time in their life. People lie, right? I've seen people that said they don't lie, lie. But we know that everybody lies, but God doesn't. So God's not a man like we are, okay? But people have a difficult time to trust God. And again, I say God is a man. He's God. When are we going to realize that? He's God, and he's made you promises in the Word to tell you that he is not man, and he is not like mankind. He doesn't have corruption in him, and mankind all has corruption because of sin. Let's go to Luke 18, verse 16 and 17. Excuse me. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no way or no wise enter therein. That's pretty heavy. This is the key to receiving the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, one thing it is the abundant life and all that includes. But to receive it, you have to trust God as a little child, little undefiled child. They just believe you, whatever you say, until they start getting corrupted by people not keeping their word. They believe, and by people telling them stories that aren't true to try to, make a joke or something or manipulate them or whatever. But the point is, they believe until they find out otherwise, right? And so we believe, we just take him at his word, believe God. See? Just like a little undefiled child does. But in order to come to that place, something has to be removed. Something has to be removed. What has to be removed? Well, let's go back to the Song of Solomon. Go back to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 9. Verse 9, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's court. Speaking, and she reminds him of something, a mare of his, a horse of his. And she has qualities of strength, but it is the wrong kind of strength. It's human strength, see? And human strength tends to exalt the wrong king, fleshly king, the carnality, the carnal king of darkness, right? The darkness needs to be removed. That's what we're talking about today, right? Yeah. The king can represent Jesus here, and he sees that you remind him of his old mare, right, in the king's stable. It depends on the mare's strength instead of God's strength. And in order to trust the Lord, or to trust in our own ability, the trust that's in our own abilities, talents, and strength are going to have to be exchanged for trust in Jesus and his strength, because he has greater strength than you have. He has greater talent than you have. He has greater everything than you have, right? Like a horse, she's running after the king, but she's running with the wrong ability, see? How many know that we don't receive from the king our way, but only his way? You can run after God in your own ability to get nothing. But if you run in the Spirit, you're going to get something guaranteed. If you run by faith in the Spirit, you're going to be blessed, right? But if you do it your way, no blessing. We don't receive from the king our way, but only his way. It's either God's way or no way at all, right? And his way is not our way. We must learn the way of the king. How many know we need to know the way of the king, not the way of the flesh? The flesh is king in so many Christians today, the carnal nature. They live carnally. The best human strength will ultimately fail. That's why Paul could say, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Right? Because he knew that the only way he's going to make it and live in grace is getting weak and being totally dependent on God. That, again, is true humility, right? I found a bug on the wall. Hey, I just killed one. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, moving on. So it's either his way or not at all. We got to learn the way of Jesus, the way of the king. The best human strength is what? It's going to fail. It's going to fail in these end times. You can't make it through these end times on your strength. So Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong, because I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, I'm weak in my strength. I'm totally dependent on him. I've weakened myself. put myself in a condition of total dependency. I'm weak. Now I'm really strong, though, because I'm totally dependent on God. That is humility. That is strength. That's power. Amen? Because he no longer relied on his own strength, but he relied on God's strength. And the church world has conceived many ways to bring the king out into the open, but all have failed. Because we can't bring the king out into the world with the world's ways. The world's ways are not going to bring in the king. The kingdom's ways will bring in the king. The ways of the spirit are going to bring the king into manifestation in our life. And deliverance will come forth. And freedom and liberty and healing and health and heal for the emotional woes of the darkness that has gone on in our life since we were born. Go to 1 Samuel 17. I'll show you something else here. 1 Samuel 17:36. Hallelujah. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And then David said, moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. And David, and so Saul armed David, verse 38, with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He didn't want to go, in other words, for he had not proved those things. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not proved them. And David put all the armor, all the sword that Saul armed him with, he put it all back, took it all off of him. In other words, the armor of Saul, which is a type of the world, the type of the flesh, and the glory of man, will not slay the giants today. Okay, we got a lot of giants attacking us right now. We got demons in our own lives that need to go. But I'm telling you, the way of the world, the armor of Saul is not going to work. The armor of the flesh, the glory of man, the ways of religion, the way of legalism is not going to slay the giants. Only that which is birth of the Spirit of God will slay the giant, folks. And David slew the giant because he trusted his God. And that trust had been proven over and over. He trusted God because he knew God, and he proved him out there in the wilderness when he's watching his sheep, and the lion and the bear came. He trusted God. Because otherwise, the lion and bear would have got him too. Right? So he didn't trust the way of the flesh. He trusted his God, and that trust had been proven. Amen. He said, no way am I going with thee. And we too are going to have to say the same thing when all of our abilities and strength offer themselves up. Hey, I can do it this way. I have this talent. I have this ability. We're going to have to deny them and instead find our strength and power by the trust in God, by the Spirit of God we do it. Amen. Amen. The Bible says all your righteousness is filthy rags, right? All that we got is rags to God of our own. Picture with me a little person standing before God, and God said, why should I let you into heaven? And the little person offered God a big rag, big old bag of filthy rags. What? He ain't going to let him in that way. Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you something. We don't know what this life holds ahead. I mean, one day a person could be alive and tomorrow gone from this life. Life is fragile. It's outside of the Lord's hand. We have no guarantees. But in the Lord's hand, he said, with a long life I will satisfy, show you my salvation. But there are conditions on that too. We have to walk by faith. We have to believe his word. We have to receive that word for us personally. So many are dying right now. So many over COVID are dying. They're taking the Christian, taking the vax. Getting triple vax. I mean, getting all these different boosters. I mean, the booster shot and the two COVID jabs, and look, they're putting themselves at harm's way. They haven't done their study. But you know, I know of a man full of health and strength. He was in his manhood. And I saw how that he went from the strong man to death in a matter of a few months. Right, just in a matter of a few months, he's dead. And that was a number of years back from AIDS, but now it's from getting the jab and getting from COVID. I mean, going in the hospital, get put on that remdesivir, how you pronounce that? Yeah. But and on the ventilator, they won't give them the things that really work. I mean, you may leave home and have a wreck and beat us to glory, right? I mean, I'm not saying that in Jesus' name you're not going to, but, you know, that's how fragile life could be. And since we don't know what tomorrow holds, we're going to have to learn to trust like never before, folks. If you haven't learned to trust the Lord, you need to learn now, because things aren't going to get easier in the future. Before the coming of the Lord, things are going to get more intense. They're already getting more intense, and they're going to get more intense. Yeah, we may have some moves of God in the midst of all this, but it's going to get more intense until Jesus comes. And if you're not ready to walk in trust now, what are you going to do then? You can't do it now. What are you going to do then? 2 Corinthians 1:9 says here, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. See, that's the attitude they had. God, we trust in him. We're trusting in him. It's been horrible. We had the sentence of death, that we should not trust in ourselves. We learned to trust in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, raised them up, right? And death deliver. He's going to, in other words, he had delivered us, and he's going to deliver us. You have that attitude? He has delivered me, and he's going to deliver me. And it's going to be ongoing deliverance till Jesus comes, or I die and go be with him. So why do we need to trust him? Well, some examples here, just a few. I mean, trust him for his care. I mean, know the Lord's care is the best care. I mean, every time you drive that car, you're 2 or 3 feet from death. I mean, just cross that double yellow line and find out, right? That car is coming at you, 70 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, whatever your speed limit is there. I know all our back roads are 70, pretty much 70 miles an hour in Montana, right? So what is it there, 55, 60? That's still pretty fast. Imagine double that, and that's what you're going to hit the other guy at. Most of the time, they don't survive. You have a head-on collision. I mean, number two, we need to trust him for his righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the way the Father sees us, that so we're secure in him right now. Amen. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Number three, such trust that when you feel so bad about yourself so many times and all your failures in life and all that's wrong in you and your home, your relationship at work or in your marriage or with your children, all your failures that you know that he doesn't feel that way toward you. You know that he doesn't feel the same way you're feeling about yourself toward you, praise the Lord, because he doesn't see that way. He sees you through himself, through Christ Jesus. The Father sees you through Christ. The Holy Spirit sees you through Christ Jesus. What was accomplished at the cross? Through the blood of Jesus. Washes away all your sins, all your thoughts, all your failures. Number four, such trust that when things don't seem to be working out, that God is still in control, right? He works in us until the day of Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians 1:6, he's still working on us. Number five, such trust that when it seems all hope is gone, we know that we have an anchor, sure and steadfast, and his word is not going to change. Amen? Hope is the anchor for the soul, says in Hebrews. You know, we need to trust him for his covenant with us. He has a covenant with us, right? We have a covenant with God. And that covenant is sure and steadfast and unmovable. Don't be giving it up and not believing it. Let the devil talk you out of it. When the time that you need it the most, and he talks you out through unbelief or fear or something, don't give in to that. Look here, Song of Solomon 1:10, it says, thy cheeks are comely with rolls of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy cheeks with chains, neck with chains of gold. What is that talking about? Here's a problem that hinders trust. The jewels on the cheek and not inside. We should be carrying our jewel inside. The Holy Spirit is our jewel. The fruit of the Spirit is our jewel. They're not within her, but they're upon her. We got to have more than that. The new covenant, he comes and lives within us. The old covenant, he lived outside of us. But I'm a new covenant, see? The revelation and the truth of the word that we receive going to have to dwell within us. Let him dwell in you richly, it says in Colossians 3:16, right? So are you letting them dwell in you richly? Are you letting the Word of God dwell in you richly? Not on the outside, not on your cheeks. That's religion. That's legalism. That's old covenant. It says in here 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, the spiritual psalms, not fleshly psalms, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That's not outside. The idea of speaking the word is very present here also. The jewels need to be in her mouth, not her cheeks. The chains of gold point to the various links of truth that have been revealed to her. All that we receive from God, right? He says, you're going to come forth as gold, right? But all that we have received from God must fit together like the links in a chain before we really understand them. But if they remain on the outside, never become a part of our spirit, they'll never change our life. I mean, truths are going to have to become real to you. They're going to be inside you. We have to embrace them before we can trust in the reality of that truth. See? Amen. Listen, Romans 6:17. We obey from the heart, from the spirit, and we trust from the spirit. That's what it comes from. It's not done in the flesh. Romans 6:17. They said, but God be thankful that you were the servants of sin. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we obey from the spirit, our heart of hearts, our spirit. We trust from our spirit. And if you're going to live an overcoming life, you're going to have to learn to trust him with all of your heart. Amen? What if our economy collapses? What if our dollar fails next year? What are you going to do? What if it happens overnight? Will you be jumping out of windows and committing suicide like they did in the great stock market crash, the Great Depression? Will you know that you're living in God's economy and God is going to take care of you? Remember, God's economy is not based on the United States economy, but it's based on the economy of God. I mean, he is God and he owns it all. He says, you know, if I needed meat, I wouldn't ask you for it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, he owns the whole everything. So let go of that area of doubt and unbelief and fear and hurt. Trust him today. Because things are going to happen here. Things are going to happen here that people, if they're trusting in the arm of the flesh, the money system, the economy of man, and that all happens, you're going to freak out, right? God is wanting to take us to new levels of trust in him. He's preparing us. But we have to be willing to go there. Right? You have to be willing to go there. You're not going to go there. And yeah, it can be scary to many Christians to learn to just trust God in all things. What do you mean, just trust God? You know, that's a concept that's very difficult for many Christians to even embrace. Just trust God? Really? You know? But truly, I'm going to be honest. That's what I always am anyway. But truly, I don't know how you are going to make it in the present days and the days right ahead of us that we'll live through, which will be like no others that we've ever seen. I mean, already we live through days that we've never seen like days like this, right? Yeah, these days that are coming are going to be like days we've never seen too. We better grow up into trust. We better learn true dependence and reliance on Jesus daily, moment by moment, day by day. We must grow higher and we must live more heavenly than earthly, for there's about to be a transition. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, he said in 1 John 2:15, right? Well, this transition, we better be ready. We better get ready. If you're not trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, you've got a ways to go yet. When turning over to 1 John, we'll read you this scripture again. You should know what it says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world does what? It passeth away. And the lust thereof. I mean, it's all the lust passes away. The world passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hallelujah. But the world is passing quickly away, and Satan knows it. He don't want to admit it, don't want to face it probably, but it's happening. He knows, but he don't want to face the reality. So he lives in denial and trying to bring forth his Antichrist beast system and bring forth his Antichrist kingdom, so people worship him instead of God. And they give their honor to the image of the beast. Yeah. Where people worship him, Satan, ultimately. But the heavenly is coming, and coming quicker than most think or believe. The heavenly is coming, folks. There are many evil people under the control of demons and fallen angels right now. And we're going to have to learn to boldly war against these spirits. And to do that, you're going to have to trust and believe in the Lord that you're warring and is being effective against the enemy. Do you believe it? I believe it. I believe that our prayers are going past the walls, right? Up past the ceiling of your home. We believe these things. We believe that our warfare is being effective against the enemy. We believe that what we bind and loose, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We believe in the keys of the kingdom. We're going to have to boldly use these things. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says a strong delusion will be upon many in these latter days. And we see that happening. But it wouldn't mindlessly be jabbing themselves or letting themselves receive the jab from somebody. Many are dying, and it keeps being covered up from the jab. They're dying. And the results of it, it's tragic. It's tragic. It's tragic. But it's happening right now. It's happening. And really, the fact of the matter is, there are people dying from COVID, but more dying that have got the vaccination than those that are not vaccinated. And they're trying to sell you a lie out there, is what I believe. So anyway, Second Thessalonians 2:10, believe what you want. But I'm going to believe the word of God. And with all deceivableness, 2:10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. See, there's all kinds of deception going on in them that perish. They're deceiving one another. They're fooling each other. They're not even believing the truth themselves. They're just lying to one another. It is all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. No, they love a lie. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We love the truth. We are saved. We love the truth. We love the Lord Jesus. He is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. See? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, or he shall allow this strong delusion to come upon them that they should believe a lie. And they're believing a lie. They're believing their own lies, some of them. Some of them behind the scenes, they know they're serving Satan. They know what's going on. But still a lie because Satan is the father of all lies. He's lied to them. And they believed him, see? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So God said they're going to be damned if they don't receive the truth. And that's what's going to happen. There is a hell and they're going there. I'm not Joel Osteen. I will preach on hell. I will preach people will be damned. Not that old Joel Osteen's going to hell. I don't know. I'm not his judge, okay? I'm just saying he doesn't preach hell and damnation. He won't preach the truth. You got to preach the whole counsel of God. He doesn't preach deliverance that everybody has demons either. Feel sorry for that, but he's uplifting and all. He'll try to build you up and stuff, but listen, there's more than just that to the word of God, okay? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. They have pleasure in their unrighteousness. They have pleasure in going to hell, evidently. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. They just don't believe it. There is a hell, a lot of them, but they know it's coming. It's coming. They don't want to face it, but it's coming. But we are bound to give thanks, verse 13, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Through the sanctification of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means you're set apart by the Spirit of God unto God and believe in the truth. Whereupon he called you by our gospel, obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're changed from glory to glory. Remember, looking in the mirror? Huh? Amen. Last verse I'm going to read. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Hold fast to the Word of God, what you've been taught in the Word of God right now. Stand fast, be bold. Stand fast and be bold, because now is the time to be steadfast and unmovable. We're going to have to prepare ourselves spiritually, or we won't be able to stand. We won't be able to take all that is ready to be happening in this world and already happening physically in this world. You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to, having done all, stand. If you haven't done all, you won't be able to stand. Listen, keeping a full armor on all the time, resisting the enemy. You know, this is an ongoing battle on a day-by-day basis, sometimes moment-by-moment basis. Yeah, sometimes you just have to do warfare in your bed. I mean, listen, you might be dreaming some awful dream or some sexual fantasy dream that the devil just slips in, and here you are making out with somebody that's not your mate. And, you know, this is a demonic attack on you while you're sleeping. You got to be able to do warfare in your midnight hour, in your sleeping time. When you're sleeping, you might be dying. Somebody might be killing you, chasing you, running you down, or doing some horrible thing to you in your dream. See? Or you might be having sex with somebody. And that's a demon slipping in. Incubus, succubus, spirit wife, spirit husband, marine spirit, those sexual spirits that come to people in the nighttime. You got to do warfare right there in your bed. You have to resist those things, find them, and cast them out of your house, out of your room, out of you sometimes. You know? They're going to come. And if it's not that way, they'll come another way. But you're going to be attacked by the enemy, so you got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not your might, his might. Right? It's not your might that can deliver you. It's his might, see? But you're strong in his might, so therefore you're a mighty warrior in God. You could do warfare against the enemy and prevail because of what's in you. Jesus in you. Jesus in you. The Holy Spirit in you. He's made you a mighty warrior. He's made you someone that can live at a time like this, right? And be an overcomer, but not all Christians will. How many know that? A lot of Christians have died already, see? A lot of ministers have died already from the COVID thing, or from taking the vaccination and the after effects of that, see? So learning to trust him fully is a key that I cannot overemphasize. That's why I felt it so important to share this tonight, because listen, the time we live in demanded that we trust God if we're going to make it. And make it in the way that we're going to manifest the glory of God. And people are going to say, what do you have that I don't have? I need some of that because I'm freaking out here. Well, of course, those with a strong delusion, they might not say that. But there are still those who are getting saved today. And we could be a testimony of the glory of God and how God is still real and taking care of his children today, and that's what they need. That's what they want. They won't be forgiven. They want to be cleansed. They don't know it. They don't understand it, but they know they need something because they're empty inside, and they're freaking out inside. They're fearful, and the Bible says we don't want to be the fearful. The Bible says the fearful and unbelieving will be cast into the outer darkness, whatever it says in Revelation about it, right? We're not going to be the fearful. I'm not the fearful. Oh, do you ever get attacked with fear? Yeah, but that doesn't make you the fearful. I mean, know that. The fearful is the one that lives in constant fear. They're living fearful. They are fearful. All they do is fear all the time. They just totally live now. Either they have a spirit of fear and they're born again and they need to get delivered, or they are the fearful, right? Amen. Because fear is a sin too, right? You give in to fear. Bible says 366 times, fear not, for the Lord thy God is with thee. For God's not given you a spirit of fear. So fear is also a spirit. So you may be saved, but have a spirit of fear that is, you've given a dominance in your life. You just need deliverance. Doesn't make you the fearful in that case. It just makes you under dominance of a spirit of fear, and you need to get delivered from that spirit of fear and quit letting it dominate your life. You can say no to it. You've got to have a holy determination that you're not going to just live with that spirit of fear all the rest of your life. You can't live that way. You've got to have a holy determination that you're not going to let that lust control you the rest of your life. You've got to make a holy determination that you're not going to let your body get all out of control, where you're overweight and big and fat, where you don't take care of your body, where you don't bring it into subjection and buffet your body, lest you become a castaway, or lest you become overweight and unhealthy, extremely overweight, right, and unhealthy. So you got to bring your body under subjection. And you do it by the Spirit of God. You can't do it on your own. You've already tried diets and things like that that don't work. You got to do it through the Spirit of God. Sometimes it takes deliverance. Sometimes you have to deal with spirits that are causing you to overeat. You have generational spirits that cause you to be a glutton and different things that run in the family line. So there are many reasons that people get so overweight. Sometimes they have physical problems, too, that they get overweight. But you got to pray for healing and then cast out a demon that's attached to the body. I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of factors that a lot of people don't even consider when they look at somebody and misjudge them, okay? And people do that sometimes. They look at somebody and say, oh, they just have no self-control, no nothing. They look at their body, you know, but you don't know. You don't live in their body. You don't live in them. So, you know, there are things involved here. There could be a lot of rejection, and people eat because they're rejected. They feel rejected. And so they eat to feel like something more, something, you know, it embraces them. As the food goes in there, they feel full. They feel good. But see, you know, that's not what you need. You need deliverance from the spirit of rejection. You don't need food. Food isn't going to deliver you, you know, to get rid of that rejection. More food. I'll just have more food. I'll feel better. Yeah, but it's a temporary fix. It doesn't get rid of the demon. It doesn't get rid of that spirit of rejection. Anyway, that's another message for another time. But anyway, I'm gonna cut it down here right now, and we're going to do some deliverance. But I'm going to pray first, and then we'll have an intermission, then we'll do deliverance, the rest program, if the Lord leads that way. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word tonight. Thank you for the anointing that I sense right now. And I give you the glory for that. I thank you. That's just the manifestation of your Holy Spirit in me. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the high and holy calling you called me with, as you audibly spoke to me and called me into the ministry all those years ago. And one of the two times in my life I've heard your audible voice is when you called me to be a pastor, to be a minister of your gospel, Father, in the fivefold. And I thank you for that. And I thank you that you've been using me all these years, Father. I thank you for it. I give you all the glory, and I thank you that I still sense your anointing, Father, and will continue to, because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. You don't take away the anointing that's been given. And I thank you for it, Father. And I ask you to bless every listener now. Bless them and minister to them and encourage them today and fill them up to overflowing in their life and use them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. The anointing breaks the yoke in their lives. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for change in our lives, Lord, that, Lord, we're just going to keep on loving people in spite of the way they are, Father. We're going to keep on caring about others. We're going to keep on walking in the Spirit and keep on trusting in God with all of our heart. Lord, just bring people to more trust, Father. Let them learn to trust you more and more and more, Father. In Jesus' name is my prayer for every listener, Father, that they'll trust you even more than they ever have, Father. And it'll just continue to grow into the fullness of the full trust, as full as we can have as humans, Father, as people that have not received our new body, Father, that we will just trust you more and more and more. As much as possible. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, take care of us all during these last days, is my prayer. Lord, that you'll take care of us. You'll bring us through the rivers, through the fire, through the flood, Father. And keep us healthy in the midst of it all, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take an intermission. We'll be right back. And then we will do some deliverance for a little while. As the Lord leads, we'll just call things out, get rid of stuff. Amen. And then we will say goodbye till next week. Okay, we're back. Let's get into it with some deliverance going here. Hallelujah. I appreciate the Jesus and the love for us. Couldn't make it without it. I wouldn't want to make it without it, you know? Right? Yeah. So, let's deal with some hurt here tonight. We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded. We come against the spirit of hurt. The hurt, the pain, the emotional trauma. We come against that right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the hurt, the pain, the emotional trauma. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Hurt. Come out. That hurt. Be hurt by somebody at work, some loved one, somebody at church or in some relationship. All that hurt, you come out right now. All that hurt. Being hurt by being let down or rejected. Come out. All that hurt. Come out. All that hurt by rejection. Hurt by words people spoken, or you heard what somebody said and it hurt you, and you weren't supposed to hear it. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. All that hurt, come on, all that hurt. We break the power of that hurt right now over you. Come out, all that hurt, in the name of Jesus. Come out, hurt. Come out, hurt. Come out, hurt. Come out, hurt. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. I command you to come out. Everybody cough 2 times, get it out. All the way out, take a deep breath, blow it out. All the way out, they come out through the mouth and the air, coughing, burping, sighing, breathing, come out. All the way out, dreaming sometimes, come out. All the way out, go, spitting sometimes. You need to spit sometimes. Get your little trash can and spit it out. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. All that hurt, all that hurt. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out of there, all the way up out of there. All that hurt in Jesus' name. Go, go, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All that fear, come out. Talking to that fear. Don't live in that fear. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. Yep. It didn't come from God. No fear comes from God. That fear doesn't come from God. The fear of God is something different than this fear that the devil provoked with and controlled with. Come out of it. The fear of God is a reverence and honor and respect. Come out of it. All that fear. Go, go. And of course, yeah, we have that such holy reverence for him and honor for him. Come out, all that fear. Go, go, go. Come out, 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 come out. All that fear, go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come all the way out in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out. Self-pity. Come out. It's self-pity. You have to go right now. All that self-pity, I bind you. Come out. Come out. Self-pity. In Jesus' name, feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody understands. Nobody's there. I know. Just when you want to express these feelings that you have, you know, and nobody listens to you about them, come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. Poor me. If nobody understands me. Nobody's there for me. You start having a self-pity party? Really? Come out. What good is that going to do you? Come out. All the way out. Come 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 out of it. All the way out. All the blood of Jesus is against that self-pity now. Come out. Let it go. Breathe it out. Cough it out. Let it go. Yawn it out. Go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against that fear, against that self-pity, against that spirit of guilt, that tormenting guilt. You come out, tormenting guilt. You come out in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 all the way out. All that guilt, I bind you. I bind you in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Keep going all the way out. All the way out, the blood of Jesus right now. You come out, come out, come out, come out of there now. Move all that tormenting guilt. Come out now. All that guilt, you have to go. These night spirits, you go. Being attacked in the night with these sexual thoughts and sexual dreams of any kind, we rebuke you. You come out of there. Those incubus spirits, those succubus spirits, those night spirits, spirit wife, spirit husband, marine spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Any spirits of witches or warlocks or Satanists are sending your way, go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All those spirits that attack in a dream, those fearful dreams, those tragedy dreams, those nightmare dreams, those dreams with someone chasing you, come out. All those spirits of the dream, in the dream, come out, 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 come out. I bind you right now. Go, go, go. Night spirits, go. Nightmare spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 come out. Sexual dreams, go, those spirits, go. Sexual spirits, go. Come out, come out. Lustful night spirits, go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out. All the way out in the name of Jesus right now. Go all the way out. All the way out. Up and out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come on out. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You move now, move, keep going. Every one of you has to go. All those night spirits, dream spirits, and nightmares, come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way. Fear of trusting, you come out. Fear of trusting, all that fear of trusting which keeps you from trusting in the Lord, come out. Fear of trust, fear of trusting the Lord. Come out right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Fear of trust. Fear of trusting. Come on all the way out. That fear of trust. Come out all the way out. Jesus' name. Now, hindrances to trust. You come out. All those walls against trusting, those demonic walls, we come against you. Those false defenses, those defense walls of Satan that he placed in you to protect you, and you received them when they came. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. You have to go right now. Go, go, go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Come out, come out, come out. Those false defenses, those demonic walls, come out. Come out. We bind you, break your hold. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, you have to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, keep coming. The blood is against you, demons. The blood torments you. You don't like the blood, but we apply it against you, demon, right now. Go, 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 all the way out. Those spirits of giving up, it's told you just give up. You can't make it anymore. I don't know how you're going to make it any longer. Come out. Those spirits are giving up. You come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. You feel like giving up. All those give up spirits, you come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out now. The blood is against you. Come out all the way out. I bind you. I break your hold over people and give up spirits. You come out right now. Giving up. You feel like giving up. The spirit tell you to give up. Come out. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. All the way. Let them go. Puff them out. Breathe them out. Let them go. Take a deep breath. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. The give up, the suicide, have thoughts of suicide or want to just die, go to heaven. Come out. All that death wish or those suicide spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Oh, it'd just be easier if I die. Go be with Jesus. Take me home, Lord. No, no, no. That's not the right way to pray. You come out of there all the way out. All those death wishes spirits, come out. Come out, 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 suicide, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way. You have to go. You are defeated by the blood, defeated by the blood. You demons, I bind you, trying to kill people, trying to take them out before their time with the thoughts of suicide or, oh, I just wish I could go be with Jesus and die. Take me home, Lord. No, that's not the right kind of prayer. You know, that borders on the self-pity and you being in control of your life instead of God. Come on, you come out of there. Come out of there all the way out. All that death wish. Go home. I want to just go home now. Well, sure, we all want to be with Jesus, but, you know, it's not time to go. You don't go till it's time to go. And with a long life, he will satisfy you. So live in expectation of that long life. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to do that. They just want to die. But we rebuke you, devil, for putting that thought in people's minds that y'all just die and be gone, be done with your life. And where is that coming from, really? Come out of there, all the way out, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, any addiction spirits, you come out now. Addiction, addiction to this or that, tobacco, come out. Addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, addiction to marijuana, addiction to television, addiction to movies, addiction to gaming, come out. All this addiction to overeating, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. I don't think a lot of people want to live the way I live. I've only ate two meals for how many years now? I mean, probably 20 years. I eat two meals a day, no more. Most people, oh, I got to have my breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks. And, you know, really, you live a disciplined life or not? Or do you live where your appetites rule your life? The uncontrolled appetite. Come out of it right now. Uncontrolled appetite. You come out. That spirit you bow down to your appetite. The appetite idolatry. You just let that rule you. You come out of there. I bind you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You go all the way out. All the way out. Have you ever ate three meals a day, Pastor? Yeah, I have, but it's very, very, very rare. Maybe two times to three times a year that I would have a three-meal day. But normally it's just two meals every day, except on the days that I'm fasting. Then, of course, that's different. But you come out of there all the way out. Keep coming out all the way out. Keep coming out of there all the way out. Go up and out of there in the name of Jesus. Go. All it, addiction, overeating. Come out, come out. Addiction to tobacco, come out, come out. Addiction to pills, come out, come out. Addiction to drugs, come out, all the way out. I bind you that addiction spirit. Come out in Jesus' name. The blood is against you right now. Go, 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 all the way out. The blood is against you right now. Come on, all that worry, anxiety, you come out. Stressful spirit, come out. Worried about things, troubled about everything, troubled about the economy, troubled about the world. Come out. Come on, all the way out. All the way out. All that troubling spirit that troubles you, calls you to think about things overly too much and be in anxiety about them. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Come out. All the way. Fear of letting you... walled down fear of receiving and love. Come on, all that fear of receiving love. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fear if you just, you know, let down your wall, you'll be hurt again all the way out. But that wall you don't need. The wall, who gave you that wall? You got to consider where it come from. Come out of there all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name. I'm not saying you have to let down your guard, I mean a real guard, the guard of the word and the guard of putting your pearls before the swine. You don't do that, okay? Some people will just turn around and rend you, attack you, because the demons in them hate you because they could see that you're a Christian. The demons can. The person may not know it, see? So you realize that things don't happen for no reason. There's some attacks that do go on. Keep coming out all the way out. I bind you. You have to go all the way. Keep going in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Nervousness, you go. Come out. All those nervous spirits being nervous about things, come out. That nervousness, come out. 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 All the way out. I bind you. You COVID spirits, you come out. COVID, we break the curse of COVID over people. We break the curse of it. Command the spirits of COVID. Come out. 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 Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. The sickness of COVID. Go from people's bodies in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. That mean spirit, you come out. Be mean. Come out. Be mean. I'm going to be mean to your animal, mean to your brother or your sister or somebody. Come out, be a bit mean on the street. Come out all the way out. Come out all that meanness when you're driving. Come out. You're out being mean to other drivers that don't do what you think they should. Come out all that meanness. Come out. Road rage, rage. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of meanness. Family line curses of meanness, being mean, being frustrated, frustrated with people. Yeah, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out, all that bit of meanness and frustration. Come out, come out, come out of there, up and out, all the way. Come on, move, 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 come out. In Jesus' name, demons, you have to obey. You have to go. They don't want you in them. They don't want you. They're out of agreement with you. They wouldn't be listening to this program. Now come out of there. All the way out. All those demons. Go, 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 go. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on out of there. All the way out. All the way out. You got to go. Got to go. Arrested development. You come out. Little boy, little girl spirit. Try to keep people perpetually a child in the way they relate to life in one way or another. It may not be every area of their life, but in certain areas, they've got arrested development. Little boy spirit, little girl spirit, don't grow up. Come out. Come out. We bind that spirit. We break the control over people of that arrested development. You come out. Come out. Little boy spirit, little girl spirit, come out. Come out. Come out. Perpetual child spirit, you come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on, all the way. All the way. Come on. Perpetual child, little boy, little girl, come out. Come out. Come out, that pouting spirit, you come out, you pout when things don't go your way, come out, all that pouting spirit, come out, we break the power of that pouting spirit, come out, in Jesus' name, all pouting spirits, you got to go, loose them, let them go, pouting spirits, I bind your pouting spirit, come out, all the way out, come on, all that pouting spirit, come out, the rest of development, come out, come on, all the way out, the blood of Jesus. You have to go. Keep going. Up and out, up and out, up and out. Pouting spirit, go. Pouting spirit, go, go, go. Move, move. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out. Arrested development, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out all the way out. People 80 years old still acting like they're a kid because they have this spirit. You got to go. Feel in a certain way they relate to life as a child. I mean, really? I mean, you can tell them grow up all day long, but as long as that demon's there, they ain't going to do it because they can't do it, right? They don't have the capability until that spirit's gone. You understand that? Right. Come out. That moodiness spirit. Come out. All those mood swings. Come out. Moodiness. I bind that moody spirit. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Break the curse of moodiness over you. Come out in Jesus' name. All that mood swing, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Oh, you better watch out for so-and-so. They're in a bad mood again. Come out. Yeah, right. That's a demon. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Moodiness, moodiness, mood swing. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against you right now. Go. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out. Spirit of embarrassment, you come out. Spirit of embarrassment, too, you come out, too. Come on, moodiness, keep going all the way out. And that embarrassment, embarrassed, being embarrassed and worried what people think all the time. That embarrassment, come out. Come on, embarrassed to pray in public. Embarrassed that people will hear what you say or embarrassed people will look at you and think that you're not looking right or something. Come out of there, all the way out. And I don't have enough makeup on, or you don't have your shirt on right, or your hair combed right, or your clothes on right, you know, or your nose is too big, your ears are too big, or you got too short a hair, too long a hair, you're too skinny, you're too overweight, or whatever. You come out of there, all that embarrassment, embarrassment about praying in public, embarrassment about lifting up your holy hands unto the Lord at church or around other people. Come out. Come out. All that embarrassment about dancing before the Lord. Yeah, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Embarrassment. We break the curse of embarrassment. Break the power of that spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Embarrassment about that you're too old or too young. Come out. All the way out. Keep going. Keep going, up and out, I bind you, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all that embarrassment, go, all that embarrassment, go, in the name of Jesus, loose them and let them go, all the way out, all that embarrassment, we rebuke you, embarrassment, you have to loose them and let them go, in the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke those spirits, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, keep moving, keep moving. All you spirits have been called out. I have to go in the name of Jesus. You've been called out. You've got to go. Resist the devil and he will flee. Cast out devils in my name. They will go. So, Father, we thank you for this deliverance time tonight. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the time that we've had together. Thank you for each and every person here and that will listen later as well. Father, we pray your blessing on their life. Father, we pray your deliverance on their life. We pray change for their life. That they go from glory to glory, be more like you, Lord, as the days continue. In Jesus' name, seal this deliverance that people have received tonight, Lord. And we give you the praise and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we have concluded another program. Yes, bless you too, Dustin. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate each one of you. And you have a blessed weekend. The Lord be with you and keep you in his secret place of the Most High God and take care of you. And we will see you back next week, Lord willing. We will be here. We're probably not going to put out a newsletter till January because we just haven't got to it. We've been so busy, and when we were sick for a while and just got behind. We got attacked in our bodies. So, yeah, anyway, we're great, and we're moving on, and we're healed in Jesus' name, and we trust you're healed in Jesus' name, and so we'll be back. Lord, keep you healthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bye-bye now.
Deeper than the deepest ocean. and yet you did condescend to travel our rugged road, companion of humble men, bearing our heavy load, and with undying
Okay, folks, thank God for his grace, and we love you dearly and hope that you're experiencing that love from him, most importantly, because he's the one that can love you like no other, isn't it? He sure is. And let him love you. Let him love on you, encourage you, strengthen you. All right, good night now.